Hello, Moonwalkers, and welcome to another episode of Moonwalk Talk.
All your energy into your finger. Throw it out. Fire.
Welcome to Moonwalk Talks. We are a Michael Jackson podcast that talks about Michael Jackson and all the Michael Jackson stuff that makes Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson. When asked about Moonwalk Talks, Jermaine Jackson said, and I quote, "Please stop calling my house or I will get a restraining order." Thank you for that, Jermaine. My name is Jenkins and I am your host. I am what some would consider a rapper and what others would consider a waste of space on the internet. Not everybody likes rappers, apparently. So yeah, first off, I want to apologize because I'm a little sick, so my voice is a little messed up, but fortunately, I don't have to do much talking on this episode, because it's an interview episode. So, as with every episode, let's get the ads out of the way. Run the music.
Are you on the grams of Insta? Or maybe you happen to frequent that box of tweets? Well, guess what? So is Moonwalk Talks. So please, go to the app on your smart droid Apple phone and follow at Moonwalk Talks on Twitter and Instagram. Also, we have a new website, so go check out moonwalktalks.com. And if you happen to listen to Moonwalk Talks on iTunes, please go rate and review the show so we can jump up in the ratings and more people can learn themselves about some Michael Jackson.
So yes, on this episode, I talk with Jeffrey Perez and Jaquez Swanigan from the Michael Jackson tribute show, King Michael, a glorious tribute to the King of Pop. What is a Michael Jackson tribute show, you ask? Well, I have an answer for you. It's basically a live band playing Michael Jackson's biggest hits while a Michael Jackson impersonator sings and dances. A tribute show normally tries to replicate the original Michael Jackson live performance as close as possible. Most of the time, the artist portraying Michael for the show will be dressed the part, equipped with costume changes between songs, and in most cases even apply outstanding makeup or prosthetics to match the singer's unique look. It is also normally comprised of dancers, background singers, lighting cues, you know, everything that you would expect in a Michael Jackson show. A tribute show is different from performances like Cirque du Soleil shows, Immortal, and MJ1, in that they normally incorporate an MJ impersonator and do not use Michael Jackson's original recordings. There are dozens of Michael Jackson tribute artists, and all of them bring something different to the stage. Some master the dance, some match the look, and very few capture the voice. And in the very rare occasion, there will be a tribute artist that can do all three. Jeffrey and Jaquez both portray Michael in the King Michael show. Jeffrey plays the bad era of Michael, and Jaquez plays Jackson 5 Michael. You all might know Jeffrey Perez from videos that recently went viral where he was standing behind his friend that was beatboxing while he was singing Leave Me Alone. This video went on to garner tens of millions of views on Facebook and YouTube and even earned him an invitation to perform on Ellen. He has since then started touring with King Michael. A little behind the scenes info before we get into the interview. Initially, I was going to only do one episode about all of the different Michael Jackson tribute shows, since I have attended a decent amount of them, and make the episode about what it takes to put the show together, all the technical aspects and legalities of the production, stuff like that. The interviews with the performers were just going to be a small part of it, but once I sat down and started talking with these guys, I thought it would just be so much more fun to hear their stories. So instead, I decided to just play the interviews in full so you can get to know the people behind the mask. So, I will be posting these episodes randomly whenever I get the chance to talk with these fantastic Michael Jackson tribute artists. Also, I will not be reviewing these shows. I'm not going to explain what I did or did not like about the performances. I'm sure some of you would be interested to hear the good, the bad, and my thoughts on the production. And if you ever see me in person, I would love to tell you. But I won't do it on this podcast. I just don't think that would be right. Everybody's going to have a different opinion, and I don't want my opinion to sway somebody from not going to see a show. For instance, something I may be critical of may not bother another person's experience. Plus, you know, I'm not a journalist. I'm not here for gossip. I'm just here to share the love of Michael Jackson with everybody. And don't take that statement to mean that I didn't enjoy the show. I absolutely loved it. Jeffrey and Jaquez and the cast of King Michael did an amazing job, and I recommend everybody go see them if they come to a city near you. So, we recorded this interview after the New Year's Eve show on December 31st. The King Michael tribute was performing at the Choctaw Casino in Pocola, Oklahoma. Pocola is a small town right outside of Fort Smith, Arkansas. And as casinos go, the Choctaw Pocola Casino was quite small as well. But the place was packed. As soon as you enter the room, you see a bunch of flashing lights. You look to the right and you can see people handing out these colorful fedoras with flashing lights on them. They looked neat at first, but became a bit distracting since everybody had one on and they flashed the entire show. So, the show begins with Little Michael singing Never Can Say Goodbye, and then it begins. After the performance, I met up with Eric Martin, the director of the show. He's also the guy that helped me get this interview, and he politely asked me to wait until they got done with the meet and greets. So my wife and I sat near the stage and watched as the people took pictures. By this time, the house lights were on in the room, and the stagehands were packing up all the equipment for the night. And not too long after that, Jaquez Swanigan, that played Little Michael, a.k.a. Kid Quiz, comes over for the interview.
Right, I'm going to set it closer to you.
Okay.
So that way we get you. But yeah, thank you for doing this. I do appreciate it.
I love to be here.
Just a heads up, I want to apologize for the audio quality. In these situations, I don't have the luxury of a professional studio, and since most of these interviews have to accommodate the schedule of the performers, I have to be mobile and flexible to whatever scenario I'm faced with. So in this instance, we had to do the interview in the venue while everybody was working and breaking down the production, so it's quite noisy. I also had to move the microphone a couple of different times, so the volumes can be inconsistent. So please bear with me.
Yes, it's awesome.
How long have you been doing it?
Since I was 8 years old.
Eight? How old are you now?
13.
13. Oh, man, a long time. So how did you become a fan of Michael Jackson?
Well, I've always known that I wanted to sing, and I was like 3 years old.
Uh-huh.
And so I was just singing. And then one day I found out that my school, I was like in first grade, and I found out my school had a talent show. And so I just wanted to sing, and I didn't know any songs to sing. I mean, I had all these songs, but I wanted to for people to let me show my vocals and stand out.
Oh.
And so my dad was like, "I want you to listen to Michael Jackson." And so I listened to "Who's Loving You," and since I was young, so I was like, "Oh my gosh, he's a kid just like me." And so I thought he was still a kid, but of course he was much older now. And I saw his music, and I was just like, "Whoa." And then I just started listening to other music, more music. And I found he was actually an adult. And then I started listening to his music, and I just fell in love. It was just, I don't know, it was just like a storm that came over me. And I was like...
And so that kind of brought you into the whole Michael Jackson tribute show?
Yeah.
Like, how did you become part of King Michael?
Well, after my family knew that I found out that I had this voice and I could do these things, they started putting all my videos up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And so... Linda Collins and Michael Firestone saw me on YouTube. They were like selecting kids to do Little Michael Jackson for their tribute show because the other kid had got too old. And so they found me, and they found two other guys, and they picked the two other people at first, but they had different things that weren't what they needed, that didn't fit the part.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said that I fit the part, and I got to do it. And my first show was in Wisconsin, 2011, and it was
history. Where are you from?
I'm from Arkansas.
Arkansas, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, this is your home state.
Yes.
So can you tell me a little bit about the process of what it takes to kind of become Michael Jackson, or Little Michael?
Well... dialing the dance moves. You gotta have that soul. You gotta have that feeling. Like,
yeah.
It's gotta be all in your body. The body is the temple, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so you gotta work that footwork.
That's right, that's what he
hours, about. Hours, hours and hours and hours of footwork.
Yeah.
And it really hurts sometimes when I was little. But I got used to it now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to really practice it as much now that I got it down. But I have big feet now, and so it's good. It makes it a little easier. And yeah, that's how I do it.
What's the rehearsal process like?
The rehearsal process, it's usually about... When I was little, I used to do hours. I had to do hours of it to really understand and grasp it and get his... I had to have sound exactly like him,
mm-hmm.
which was pretty hard. But I finally got it. But I found out a way to sound exactly like him, but still make it my own as well. And that's really that. So,
what's your favorite song to perform?
Who's Loving You? Because my song.
Yeah.
That song has got me through so much. It's opened so many doors for me, and it's just my song. Like, that's the first song that I ever really fell in love with. Like, that's just my song.
Isn't it crazy to like see him as a kid? I mean, you're a kid as well.
Yeah.
I mean, how old was he when he did that?
He was like,
I think it was like 10.
Yeah, he
I
was like 9, 10, 11.
Yeah, it's like, and you're to look back and look at him do that. It's like, isn't it crazy to believe that, like, it's just a little boy doing this?
Yeah.
Like, so do you feel it's in the same, you know, vein as he's doing that, you know, performing for all these people tonight?
Kind of, yeah, because when I was little, I thought, whoa, how is that even possible?
Yeah.
But now that I've gotten older and I've kind of adjusted to it, it's like, yeah, I'm doing this,
yeah.
You know, I'm actually doing this and that. And so, but yeah, for the most part, yeah.
What do you think is the most difficult song to perform?
I want to be where you are.
Oh, really?
Yes. Because there was like a higher version, and I used to be able to sing it when I was little. But then my voice kind of started to change, and it's starting to change. And so I had to adjust my voice to make it still sound the same. So that's really difficult for me.
So Michael Jackson had some very enthusiastic fans.
Yes.
And, you know, it scared him a lot when he was a kid because he used to pull on him and stuff like that. Have you ever dealt with any of that?
Yes.
Really? You've dealt with that already?
I've dealt with that, yeah.
People getting crazy?
And people when they're drunk because a lot of the shows.
You're at a casino.
Yeah, most of the shows were at casinos and most of them were drunk. And so, you know, their receptors and their brains are like judgment and all that stuff is like
they're probably seeing you as the real
Michael Jackson. Yeah. They actually thought I was. That's why people like find it funny, like the cast and stuff, because they're like they might actually think you Michael Jackson. And then some lady, I remember my first show. I was 8 years old.
Oh.
She came up to do meet and greets, and some lady just pulled up her shirt.
Oh no.
I was like, you do know I'm 8 years old, right?
Yeah, it was like you can't do that.
That was traumatizing for me. I was like, my childhood is ruined. My innocence is...
Well, you know, Michael, when he was a kid, he performed at strip clubs.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah.
I'm sure you've read the books.
Yeah. I've read the books, watched the movies, everything. Yeah. Yeah.
So I was going to ask you if you had any interesting experiences, but I guess that would be one.
Yeah.
I guess you're probably too young, Deborah. Like, the next question was meet Michael Jackson.
I met his dad.
You met his dad?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. When did you meet him?
I was like 10 years old, and there was this convention for African-American heroes from Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Jackson turned out to be from Arkansas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's from Arkansas. And so I thought that was pretty cool. And so they asked me to sing the national anthem there.
Nice.
And at first I was like, I was going to do it, of course. But then I found out that Michael Jackson's father was going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like a couple of years after he died. It was like 2 or 3 years after he died. And I wanted to make this like the best performance ever to impress him. And then I got to meet him, and after I finished singing, he was like, man, you kind of remind me of my son. And I was like,
bring up the belt. He was like,
no. But when I heard him say that, I was like, you're comparing me to Michael Jackson himself.
Yeah.
And when that just brought me to tears, and I was just nervous, but it just, wow. I never thought that moment would happen, and then when it happened, it's like a storm came over me, man. That's a special moment for me. I'll never forget that.
That's amazing. That's a really cool story. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Thank
you.
So, being at a Michael Jackson tribute show, there's other great shows like the Cirque du Soleil show,
mm-hmm.
like MJ show,
Have
you ever seen them? Or?
I've seen MJ one,
uh-huh.
And these are all amazing shows, and I really like them. But I don't. My thing with them is they're more for like dancing and it's not really like singing and performances. They're mostly just dances.
Yeah.
But
your Billie Jean is better than mine.
At this point, Jeffrey Perez gets done with his meet and greets and comes over to join the interview.
Awareness.
Yeah, so I'd already asked some of these questions, so I'll just start with you.
Okay, cool.
How did you become a Michael Jackson fan?
My mother and father were Michael Jackson fans. So when I was probably about 1 or 2, I think it was the Bad album that made me fall in love with Michael Jackson. Around about that time, there was my first Walkman. And in my Walkman, I had a cassette on the A side. I think it was The Love You Save. And then Flip was ABC, I think. It's so long ago. Like, I remember them putting it in my headsets. I have vague memories about it. But around that time was Michael Jackson's Bad album and the Bad video. And I just remember being so fascinated. It was a natural thing. I don't have memory of not loving or knowing Michael Jackson. So it's
that's
like...
like, it's never... Like, yeah.
It was like I was hooked or programmed or... I don't know the word, but it was like once I fell in love.
Like one thing I remember as a kid is like was when I first saw him, it was Dangerous. I saw him at the Dangerous when I was a kid.
Right.
And to me, when somebody would show me Michael Jackson as a kid, when he was little black boy, and then when he was Dangerous, it was, you know, a lot of light skin.
I never understood that. Like, but then I found out that he actually had vitiligo.
Yeah.
And it was a skin disease. And so he was going to turn, his skin color was going to turn no matter what.
Well,
so,
I never knew the difference.
Me neither. Like, I was saying, like, when I looked at him, I was like, difference. Oh, that's just Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
I was like, it's like, whenever I saw him as Dangerous,
I remember,
or Jackson 5, I was like, oh, that's just Michael.
Yeah.
Like,
right. And it was a natural connection.
Yeah, weird, but it's weird, though, yeah.
And I was like, you just were like, oh, well, that's just Michael.
I and
like,
I remember when I was little, I was on a bus ride, and we were talking about Michael Jackson. And then I was talking about Little Michael, how he used to perform, or how he performed with him. And I'm like, you can't do that, you're black. And I'm like,
Well, Michael Jackson is...
Yeah, he's kind of, well, I mean, he's black. And they're like, no, he's white. And so, and this is the time where we didn't have, like, iPhones and stuff.
Yeah.
And so we had to go to the school library, and we had to go to the computers and show them Little Michael was black, he is black, and... what happened was his skin color. That's it. It's like he's black, and they were like, oh. But it was hilarious. I will never forget that moment.
It's always funny if we don't realize that sometimes. Like, oh wait, Michael Jackson's black.
I never saw. I don't think I ever put a race on him.
Yeah.
When I was younger.
I personally think that was something that he kind of wanted to skew against, even though it was something, I mean, it wasn't a choice of his, but it's something that I think he did believe.
Break the barriers, break boundaries.
Yeah, that was his thing. That's his thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what would you really be called, an impersonator or a tribute artist? Is there anything that...
I'm a tribute.
Okay.
Impersonator, it doesn't matter really. It's all the same shit.
Yeah.
So, we're all doing it for the love of him.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody has their different reasons. but I guess it's... I mean, if you want to be a professional, you got to learn the makeup techniques, which I have a lot of drag queen friends.
Mm-hmm.
And my best friend was a makeup artist. She went to school for it. So she helped me... get more in touch with, I guess I want to say my feminine side, because I started learning makeup techniques and how to do this and shadow and nose and contour. And so you really want to, I mean, if you really want to get into it, you have to get into it, the makeup side and the aspect of looking, because nobody can look like Michael without surgery.
That's true.
And,
True.
But there are ways and techniques and things like that. So first you have to get the look. I think it's the look, the dance, and the sound. And I think some people miss the last one.
The sound.
They miss the sound.
That's definitely something that you have on lock.
But thank you.
Sure, yeah.
Can I go change?
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah,
I'll come back.
Oh, yeah, okay. So, what is your, speaking of the sound? What is your favorite song to perform?
The one that I feel means the most is Man in the Mirror.
Man in the Mirror.
I'm a bad tour baby, I guess.
I think it's the best tour, in my opinion. Yeah.
And Moonwalker, the beginning of Moonwalker kind of imprinted what Man in the Mirror was. I had a connection to Man in the Mirror since I was a kid, and I grew up watching Moonwalker, so for some reason, me and Man in the Mirror, and it's a meaningful thing, too, a personal thing, because I've gone through a lot of things in my life, ups and downs, things that people would never even know about. I have struggles, and sometimes I've had to resort to that song and really, really, like, listen to the words and know the meaning of it. And I guess it connects, so when I perform it, I emote. It's an emotional thing. Sometimes I cry and I start getting choked up. I have to, like,
bring it back
together.
What's your most difficult song to perform?
For me, just vocally, because I'm a vocal master at doing Michael, so vocally, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough is one of those ones where I have a weaker falsetto, so it's a little bit harder for me to sing Don't Stop Till You Get Enough.
What do you feel is the most difficult as far as dance moves?
Billie Jean, because the producers want to put it at the end of the show, and by that point, you're tired, you're out of breath, and sometimes your moves get a little sluggish, and then you play it back, and you watch it, and you're like, damn, I'm not getting that Michael Jackson feel, because Michael never gave you half ass. Like, he gave you full ass. So, you know? So, that's what it is. Like,
okay. What a, like, if you could do, like, an obscure song, like, maybe, like, not one of the hits, what would you do live?
Well, I've done a lot of the non-hits because of my vocal ability, and I guess I have a gift. I've also worked in another production called Invincible, and the producer, Darren Ross, he allows me to go in different directions. He allows me to do the songs I want to do. And it's really good to have a producer that will... Eric is amazing, by the way. Eric, he's very easy to get along with, and you know,
what, Invincible's out of Philadelphia, right?
Philly and New York. They're both great shows, but I guess I like sometimes just do like Give In to Me.
I think that's kind of a lot of hardcore Michael Jackson fans. You know, we've heard the hits, we've seen it. You know, we've seen them done. It's like we kind of want to see the side ones, you know,
right,
every once in a while. You know,
right?
It would be great if a tribute would do Scream. You know what I'm saying?
We do Scream in Invincible. In Invincible, we do Scream. We do Remember the Time, and
this is never done ever. Yeah, it's great to see that. Yeah.
I did a medley not too long ago. All I Do Is Think of You, into Let Me Show You the Way to Go, and into Blame It on the Boogie. And when we do stuff like that, it just kind of, the fans of they appreciate it more, because it's like they're not expecting that.
Not at all. Yeah.
If you go to any other tribute show, you're not going to hear those type of songs. So I like those rare songs. I like Come Together, like performing one.
That would be amazing to see live. Mm-hmm. So Michael Jackson, he was known to have some extremely enthusiastic fans. Have you had to deal with that, with crazy fans and Billie Jean during Diana's, or just crazy people that just, you know?
To be honest,
see you as
not yet.
Not yet.
Everybody is loving.
Yeah.
Everybody is. No. I've gotten some people who like to talk shit, but you know.
Is it
that comes with the territory?
Is it other Michael Jackson, like crazy Michael Jackson fans, or are they just regular people?
We're all crazy.
Oh.
Don't you think? I mean, because if we love them, we love them. We don't just love them a little bit. We love them.
That is true.
To the top.
That is very true.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't think none of us are crazy.
So, do you have any like interesting stories that comes from being part of a Michael Jackson tribute? I mean, you guys tour all over the place.
Right.
You know, like, do you have like any stories that, I mean?
Someone asked me to sign their titty before. That was crazy. I'm like, are you sure? I did it though.
Oh, you have to.
I mean, respectfully.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. Really, everything's crazy. Interesting was Japan.
Oh, you go to Japan?
Yeah, they're respectful, loving. Before I left, the host gave me this big old bouquet of flowers that was damn near as big as me. You know, I couldn't take that on the plane, but that was like a loving gesture. It was just, I don't know, they show appreciation in a little bit of a different way than here in America, and it's so respectful and so loving.
Speaking of encounters, have you had any encounters with Michael Jackson's family, or have you ever seen him perform? You have?
Oh, I have. Yeah. I mean, since his death?
No.
I hate saying that.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know.
It's still never easy to say.
Yeah, no. I still cry sometimes when I think about it. Or I'm by myself, I just... Or when I'm watching some of the news things. And, anyways, back on subject.
Yeah.
I know a couple of the family members very personally. And actually his aunt... Well, maybe I'm not going to say her name, but I'm going to. But one of his aunties.
If you don't want me to like put it in there, I'll cut it out. Just let me know.
No, you don't have to cut it out. I don't want to be bragging and shooting out names. You know?
Okay.
But she, one of his aunts on Joe's side, made some of the jackets that you saw.
Oh, really?
Me wear. Yeah, she's a seamstress. Very sweet lady, and everybody there. Joe's brother, Larry, he's really good to me. In Lompoc, in the 805 area, I'm really close with his nieces and nephews, Simone and Rio, and all of them. And they're good to me. Now, I met Jermaine too. He's cool. He's really nice. He was actually really nice. He looked at me for a second. I guess he wanted to check me out. It was years ago. It was like probably like 5 years ago. And he just looked at me, and he was really nice, really gracious. He whisked out of there, adults. But we both had interviews. Like, I was getting interviewed and he was getting interviewed. So we had a brief moment of looking. We looked at each other and smiled. And I just told him, I listened to you for a long time, ever since I was a kid. And I just want to thank you. And he was like, well, that's very sweet of you. And he's like, thank you. And he gave me a hug and he stepped back and he just kind of looked at me again. And he was like, you're good. And I was like, thank you. And then it was that. Yeah. Tito's really cool.
Oh, well, Tito.
He's down to earth.
Everybody loves Tito. Man.
Yeah.
He can't be Tito. Yeah.
Randy Jr., he's really cool. They're all cool. Even one time I ran into... I ran into them all so many times. There's Omar. He's really cool too. He's a great dancer, and I ran into him at the MJ1. They had a party for them when the show opened up in Las Vegas, and I got VIP, so I had the VIP pass. But so I was back. I was just seeing all of them, you know, walk by and stuff like that. I'm high. Hey, I think you're so cool. Like, you know, I'm a fan too. So.
So have you seen like MJ Live or Thrill Live?
Yes.
How do you feel about those?
MJ Live. I have really good. I loved it when Justin Dean was a part of it. Justin Dean to me is a wonderful person, and he's mentored me when it comes to makeup and stuff, and he's been a really big help to me in my career. Not too many people will tell you the truth. A lot of people will go through and say, you know, I did this on my own, and they get big-headed. Well, no, I didn't. I learned from a lot of people who were doing it before me, and Justin Dean is one of them. There's a new cat, James Tynes, who is brilliant. He did it for a little while, the show, just recently. Now he's in Who's Back.
Oh, I'm interviewing him next month.
Oh, he is good.
Yeah.
He's good.
He's back.
He's good. And I, it's nothing but love between me and him. And I respect his craft. I respect what he does. Firestone too.
Oh,
Michael Firestone.
Yeah. He did MJ Live for a while.
He did, and I enjoyed. He actually let me come out. He gave me
the
VIP
ticket. Jackson that I ever did.
We know that Michael Jackson loved the first movie. He loved him. He had to work for him sometimes. But some people have called it disrespectful. You know, back to the hologram thing. Right. What do you guys feel about that? Have you had any controversies with people messing with you guys about that?
Yeah.
For people to say, oh, it's disrespectful, they can have their own opinions. That's them. But I feel like that it's very respectful, and that it just shows that we care about Michael Jackson and we want him to live on. And he's living on, and we're portraying that and embodying his spirit. Yes.
I get a lot of more support for what I do versus the naysayers or the haters. But I do get the common haters. I get so many comments that sometimes I can't even look at them all, or read them all, or respond, because it'll get overwhelming. But I do occasionally see somebody saying, you're a disgrace to Michael, and stuff like that. And it doesn't bother me, though. Like, it just means that I'm doing something.
Right job, yeah.
Right.
You're doing good.
I would feel kind of crazy if nobody said something bad. You have to have some. If you don't, you have to have the good and the bad. And if you don't, I know that it's not. I mean, that's their personal feelings. But if they said you suck, that'd be different. I don't get a lot of that though.
Wow, that's
so. What do you guys feel is the most difficult thing about doing a Michael Jackson tribute show?
I don't like doing meet and greets after the show.
Really?
Because I'm tired.
Yeah.
I can't breathe. My face is sweaty. My feet hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I am out of breath. Sometimes if I drink too much liquids, I feel like vomiting.
Yeah.
Because my stomach, I'm jumping up and down and I'm moving. I'd rather do them before the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because my makeup would look good. I'd be energized. I won't be tired.
No.
But afterwards, sometimes I just want to sit down and breathe. And you have people wanting to pull you in different directions.
They want you to
come.
It gets overwhelming.
Give them your attention the entire time, yeah.
Well, it's hard for me to get from the back to the front.
Yeah.
And I want to just sit down sometimes and not talk to anybody. And that's difficult for me. To do this, nobody has any clue about how tired. Michael, he was a monster.
He'd been doing it since he was a kid,
I don't know. I think he's not from this planet.
Yeah.
No.
Because my body, when I was younger, that really wasn't an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I lost my love for what I'm doing. It's that I can feel it.
No.
My body, I feel the tiredness. I want to sit down and rest. I want to ice my knees because I'm mad in the mirror. I have these knee pads on, and it's...
hit that floor.
It still hurts. Right now, my right knee is starting to bother me. Mm. And I want to still be able to do the same thing that Michael was doing. I want to give them the show. But I'm like, sometimes I'm like, am I going to spin tonight and get on my knees? Because it hurts.
Yeah.
It really hurts. So that's keeping it real. And I bet you if any other tribute artist will say the same thing. They might not say it, but they know the grueling. They know what it takes. They know that the body. And then sometimes I don't want to talk because my voice. It depends if I was singing all day or if a sound check got a little bit went over time,
mm-hmm.
or if I had a show the night before. And then sometimes I just feel like I don't know. It's tiring. No lie, it is tiring. Right now I'm energized. I'm like, see, if you could catch me like an hour after the show,
yeah.
Then I'll be great. Give me time to unwind. But it doesn't go that way always. It just
yeah.
You have to get out to the fans, you know. And I would never not go
yeah.
to the fans because I mean,
yeah, and I'm sure they appreciate that. Yeah.
I'm a fan, so
yeah. What do you think the future holds for you two as far as this career goes?
Well. I know I can't be doing this for a long time. I would love to, but there's gonna be some time where I'm gonna have to move on from this. And it'll always be in my heart, but I know that time is kind of like the enemy here because I want it to last forever.
It is the worst. It is the worst
but
enemy.
It is gonna have to end at some point. And I'm just trying to take it all in now and focus on myself. And
well, you do a lot of other things. Have you
yeah, I said,
well,
what would you do next? Yeah.
Have you told him about? Anyways, he's an entertainer in his own right.
Okay.
And he does a lot of other stuff.
Okay.
I mean, we're blessed to have him.
Yeah.
He's one of the most talented young men that I know. Super producer.
You're a producer? Producer
yes.
too? What?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. He's cut from a different class.
No.
This one right here.
Producing and writing is where the money's at,
yeah,
so let me tell you that.
Sure, I write, I sing, play instruments.
Are you allowed to talk about what else you do?
So you'll continue?
Look him up. You'll find out.
I will.
Jaquez, or Kid Quiz.
Kid Quiz, on the Twitter, right? Kid Quiz?
Twitter,
at Kid Quiz? Yeah.
For me, yeah. Mr. Ellen. Shout out to Ellen.
Shout
out to Ellen DeGeneres.
Big
and,
up.
And Anointed S. My buddy Anointed
yeah.
S.
Beatboxer, right?
Yeah, he's brilliant. Which we're like this, and we're going to be doing more shows together. So you guys haven't, and we're doing more videos too. So y'all haven't seen the last of us. And we're going to, well, we have good ideas. We're going to test. Anyways, that's enough.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. I want to do Jeffrey, but I will always have that Michael flavor.
So you do want to do like a solo thing
Jeffrey.
Aside from just the tribute? Really? Okay.
The direction that I'm shifting in and working with different producers and stuff like that, that is my direction.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have to go back to the drawing board because the things that I've been working on was Bruno Mars's album.
Oh.
So now I'm like, well, shit, he's doing it. I don't want to be...
You got to do that.
It's hard.
Yeah.
And then I'm always going to be compared to him or Michael. So, I mean, I'm not scared, but I want to just be me.
Yeah.
And it's really
sometimes.
Hard. And a lot of people want to be better than who came before them.
Mm-hmm.
Or they want to be... The truth fact is, you can never. I will never be better than Michael Jackson, and I just want to be Jeffrey.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
if the people will love it, I'm still gonna do it. I'm working, but it's stressful because for me, I'm my worst enemy.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm really critical of myself, and I don't know. I'm scared to put out what I've been working on so far, and I don't. That's the criticism that I'm scared of. Right now. To be honest, I'm just
you should never feel never you never know. It's like, so never feel scared to put something out. And it's like, the one thing that like Quincy and Michael had always talked about is like, Quincy was an album finisher. He got things done. And the reason why they stopped working together was because Michael never wanted to put anything out. That's why That's why it took him so long to put things out.
That's me. I always want to put things out.
Just put it out.
I want to put it out, but I gotta, this world, this media, this how it is, everything has to be
so
timed
quick.
And specifically.
Timing. Oh, yeah.
The timing has to be perfect. If you miscalculate one thing,
right?
Boom.
Yep.
It can be
so
over.
That's my feat. That's where I'm at.
And plus, my thing about it is I'm going to pursue a solo career and be me. But ever since I ever started singing Michael Jackson, and even when I sing other songs, they always compare me. Oh my God, you're gonna be the next. Like all my comments in every song and every video. Oh my God, he's the next Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to leave a mark on this world to be like, for another kid to be like that kind of in a way. For like, another kid has a comment. I want him to be the next Jacquez.
Yeah.
And I'm still, I don't want that to like happen, but if it happens, it happens.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's kind of hard because I'm always going to be compared to him.
Yeah.
Even when I'm older, I still might be compared to him. And it's like.
And it's not a bad comparison.
Not at all. It's like one of the greatest comparisons you'll ever get.
Yeah.
But it's like,
it mentally
frustrates me all the time. It's just like, I don't want to always be living in the shadow of Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
But I want to be free. And like,
it's like taking the words out of my mouth.
it really takes a toll on me sometimes, but you just gotta pray.
Yeah.
And just keep on doing it so you can stop being little Michael and Michael, you can be who you really are.
Yeah, that's a very good way to put that.
I think I'm gonna do it, but I just gotta do it. I have to
time.
Man up.
Yeah.
I have to man up right now.
You will. How do you feel Michael should be remembered?
I think he should be remembered how he is remembered, as the greatest in every aspect of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Humanitarian.
Yeah.
Like, I never knew him personally, but everybody who I know, who did know him personally, they speak so highly of him, of the just how genuine he was. He was a real person. I don't think people know that. They just see him as some mega superstar that rocked the world, which he did. But he was just a person, just like me and you. Just like how I'm sitting here talking to you right now. Like, he's a person.
No.
I mean, sometimes he had to hold back a little bit, and he didn't have to. Not everybody got to know him personally, but I hope people remember him as being a person. A person that had feelings and just wanted to love and show love and spread love.
No.
It's hard because some people forget that we have feelings, that we as entertainers have feelings. Like,
we're human beings.
Man, some of the shit is mean, but whatever.
When they get behind that keyboard
My thing is, and Michael Jackson's thing was, I feel like once I get older, like, the real world is gonna hit once I get older. Because
right?
Now I'm a kid. Everybody wants to be nice. Oh my God, that's so amazing. But I know, come on, I'm a human. I'm imperfect.
Yeah.
Nobody can be perfect. And I know there's some people like, nah, there's something. He needs to work on these things. And I need those negative comments so I can know what to work on, so I can be better. And I mean, I feel like there are some negative comments that I can never see them, but I don't see anybody critiquing me besides my dad, and he's like the greatest that can do it.
Yeah.
But I need that to motivate me. But right now it's just gonna be scary once I get them, but I need them as well.
And I gotta say, it's very refreshing to hear you say I need to hear negative comments. Just make sure you listen to the constructive criticism and not the hate. There's a difference. It's when somebody says, hey, you know what, you can work on that note.
Yeah.
That's different than saying that guy sucks, you know. As like, because I personally think you did an amazing job, you know what I'm saying? It's like, from a person, both you guys, I've watched these things a million times, as you guys have, you know, and definitely a fan, you know what I'm saying? So you guys did an amazing job. I don't have any complaints, except for the falsetto on
oh my gosh, Jeff
on
it was clapping
smooth,
in the back
smooth criminal. I was hoping you had that.
It's hard though.
No, I'm not blaming you, because I can't do it.
I think he might have
had maybe a back. That. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So, like, same thing we did with, like a jam, you know. And
yeah,
like,
but what you saw here is live.
Yeah,
live.
Everything, dude, that's our thing. That's what we drive on. Everything is live.
But sometimes, see, I'm not ragging on the production, but if it was up to me, some of my stuff would be trash.
And it should be. Is that because those dance moves?
Yeah.
Is that,
oh, my God.
You can't do both. It's like it's very difficult. Because I know that you also sing for a dancer when they're on stage. You did it for another production, didn't you? Then you sing like off stage for a dancer.
How did you know that?
I do research. So
that was an accident.
Oh, was it? Oh.
Yeah, his track cut off.
Oh, really?
In the show.
Okay. I thought it was like a planned thing.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. No, hit the track because he does it to Michael. He lip syncs, but he's a great entertainer and dancer.
Mm-hmm.
So in that show, that's his. And I get a break too, and we give each other breaks. And it's a great production.
Yeah.
But what happened was, the track went off, and the producer calls down to the because he's back in the back, and he says, "Somebody give Jeffrey the mic. Give Jeffrey the mic." And I'm on the side of the stage, and so I just, you know, typically I don't perform Beat It in original key, but I was on the side of the stage, and I was sitting still, so I was able to sing it, and I can sing it, Beat It in original key.
Yeah.
I can sing a lot of these songs.
Oh, yeah, trust me, because I said that, I don't think I doubt any of your musical abilities. I was just giving you some about
no,
that.
No, so. I like, no, and I mean, also, in, I have a weak falsetto.
Oh, really?
I have a weak falsetto.
Oh, okay.
So that's something that I need to improve.
Is it because you have such a light voice, such a, you know, your range is a lot higher. Is it because of that?
I have a better chest, and I can belt, and I have a better grunt.
Me too.
Like, I can see, it's easier for me to do that yummy baby than doing, you know, the falsetto parts. So, like, that's my gift. But it might be destroying my falsetto. I don't think, you know. But I don't know. I have more of a power, like, I can belt out things.
That's
my weakness.
You both are fantastic.
I can't do falsetto. Like,
you can't do the head notes?
Not yet. I got to work. I'm working on it. Like, I practice every day on it. But I'm more of a person who can sing it full voice than falsetto. But that's one thing that I definitely
I think once your voice kind of changes, I think you'll be able to hit your falsetto.
Yeah,
because you can do it.
He's kind of downplaying himself.
Oh, is he?
Because earlier, I don't know, you're doing head notes. What were you doing? You don't have to do it right now. Them whistle tones. Oh, his whistle tones are ridiculous. He does those Mariah.
Oh, what?
He can do the Mariah whistle.
I want to ask you to do it, but, you know.
I can do it.
Okay. It's the end of the show. Earlier today, he was whistling.
It's too late. It's too late.
You know, he's whistling. And I'm looking, and I looked at him, and I was like, boy. But he can do that. He's at the end of the night. But
yeah.
He got
and so, yeah, after a long performance. All right, so is there any question that sometimes you'd hope an interviewer would ask you but they never do?
Well, what does Michael Jackson mean to me, but like, how has this helped you?
How has Michael Jackson helped you?
And motivated you? And how has this been able a platform for you to be able to do bigger and better things for
that
yourself?
Is a good question. Yeah.
So that's
one so this question. So basically you're saying that this
it is a platform
performing as Little Michael or Michael Jackson is helping you get to a point to where you need you would love to be.
You want to be. Yeah. Like, how does this help you in your publicity?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, team like. No. Selling access, you know what I'm saying?
That question is, I don't know.
It's like, because sometimes it's like interviews are actually the same old questions like I probably have, which, you know, what's your favorite song, blah, blah, blah. It's like, but I'm sure there's a question you're like, God, I wish they would ask me that. And I would love to answer, you know.
Without sounding narcissistic, sometimes I wish people would ask me, how do I want to be remembered?
Right. Well, how would you like to hear it? No, hey. No, I don't think that's narcissistic
at all.
The South thing, yeah. How would you like to be remembered?
That's where the narcissistic comes in.
It's okay.
I just want to be known as the greatest.
Nothing wrong with that.
Known as the greatest to have done it. To have copied, maybe. I want to be remembered as, but that's in my tribute.
Uh-huh.
Now, I also want to be remembered as Jeffrey too. So that's a I'm a Gemini, so I guess that's a lot of...
I'm Pisces.
I want to be remembered. I just want to be remembered.
You just want to be remembered.
That? Does that make sense?
Okay,
that's,
so...
That's another question.
Yeah.
That's another one that I wish I was asked. If you could choose a producer... or anyone to work with to do Jeffrey,
who would it be?
Do?
Yeah,
and Babyface,
my
Babyface
in
Dark Child.
In, well, Dark Child. Oh yes. Oh my.
Dark
gosh.
Child. Okay. All right.
Oh my God.
You know, and he's probably accessible now. Yeah. He's not really doing that much anymore.
He is.
Oh, he
actually.
Did?
He's
really?
Doing the Empire. He works on Empire.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, him and Timbaland do Empire.
No, right now Roddy Jergens is doing Empire.
For real?
Yeah.
For the next season.
Don't sleep on him.
Really?
Don't sleep on Roddy.
I can never do that.
Rodney, give me a call. You hear me, Rodney? Give me a call.
And
if you got any of them tracks that Michael didn't finish, let's get to work. Shout out to Roddy Jergens.
Thousands.
Pharrell.
Oh, well.
Pharrell. Who else?
All right. All right, wrap it up. Sorry for taking you guys so much of your time. I do appreciate you guys so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
I really
you.
Do.
This is a
So if you want to plug any tours, dates, upcoming things that you have coming up, now's the time to do it. We do have...
If you haven't already, just follow me at Jeffrey Perez 86.
86,
all
okay.
of my social media at Jeffrey Perez 86. And who knows what's going to happen next.
Okay.
Just a lot.
Tune in.
All right.
Same...
Jeffrey, yours is Jeffrey Perez.
No, if you want to find out more about me and more things that are going to be coming out in the future, Kid Quiz, all social media platforms, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, yada, yada, yada. Contact that and then. Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank
well,
you.
Thank you guys so much for having this conversation with
thank
me. I really
you.
Do appreciate
I really
it.
Appreciate this,
man. You guys are amazing. You guys do a great job.
Huge thank you to Jeffrey Perez and Jaquez Swanigan, a.k.a. Kid Quiz, for taking the time to talk with Moonwalk Talks. Thank you to Eric Martin and Bill Mead for helping to set up this interview. And make sure to check out King Michael, a glorious tribute to the King of Pop, when it comes near you. For tour dates and more info, check out kingmichaelshow.com. Well, Moonwalkers, that is our episode. I hope you all enjoyed the interview. I have been your host, Jenkins. Thank you for listening. Please don't forget to rate and subscribe on iTunes. Follow at Moonwalk Talks on Twitter and Instagram. And please tell someone new about Moonwalk Talks, and I will keep the episodes coming, okay? And remember, no matter what happens in this life, keep your head up, keep the faith, and don't forget to smile.